So I was wondering if you could tell me about the competitive mandate and what it would do.
Well, I think the unique thing about the competitive mandate is it sets a specific goal of raising our Wisconsin's per capita income by to match Minnesota's. So that would take roughly $4,071 per capita here in the state to match Minnesota's per capita income. And frankly, Brian, it wasn't that long ago, maybe 15 years ago, where we actually exceeded Minnesota in per capita income, and now we're substantially behind. If we just matched Minnesota's per capita income, it would generate $22 billion in new revenues to the state and $1.32 billion in new tax revenue.
Why did Wisconsin fall behind Minnesota?
Yeah, I think Minnesota did a better job for many years of focusing on high-wage jobs, of organically growing new companies. Minnesota went through a terrible recession in the 80s, and we studied that. Competitive Wisconsin took a look at what happened under the Perpich administration in Minnesota to try and reform Minnesota's tax policies, reform their spending policies, and kind of rebuild the economic infrastructure of the state of Minnesota. And the tenets of that plan are still in existence 25 years later, and they're big reasons for Minnesota's success. So we studied that hard. We had Lieutenant Governor Marlene Johnson, who was Lieutenant Governor of Minnesota under Rudy Perpich, come in and speak to our organization, and we used a lot of those ideas in the development of the competitive mandate.
What was happening in Wisconsin when Minnesota was going through its recession?
Well, Wisconsin's economy at that time was in trouble too, but not nearly as bad as Minnesota. We're a little more manufacturing based than they were. We still continue to be. They're big business leaders.
Keep working.
Got together, met with Governor Perpich, and said, listen, if we don't reform our tax policies and our spending policies here in Minnesota, we're going to take these jobs somewhere else. And Perpich was a Democrat, and he was willing to do that. He cut taxes. He reformed their state spending and reduced the overall spending, and he asked everyone to pitch in. I mean, the unique thing about competitive Wisconsin that I think we can bring to the table is the fact that we're business, we're labor, we're agriculture, and we're education. We're not, it's a nonpartisan coalition. It's not identified with one party or the other. Our objective is to make Wisconsin as competitive as possible, and we think having a very simple, clear, and easy and achievable target of growing the per capita income is the right place to start, and then we build the policy initiatives underneath that to try and achieve that goal.
What was Minnesota's economy like before that recession?
Oh, their unemployment was in the double digits. In the 70s, they were doing well. They raised their taxes. They increased state spending. We hit a recession under the Carter administration, and their economy went in the tank. They had a long way to go to come out of that hole, and they've done that.
But if Wisconsin was manufacturing, what was theirs based on? Agriculture or?
No, they had some manufacturing, and they still do. They had the taconite production up on the Iron Range in Minnesota. They had lumber and timber industry similar to what we have, but they have a big urban center, and they had some key companies, key Fortune 500 companies like 3M, Pillsbury, Honeywell, and they did a better job of incenting those companies to produce new technologies. And with that came spin-offs and more high-tech jobs in the state of Minnesota. Minnesota has one advantage on Wisconsin right now, and that's a thriving urban center. We don't have that yet. We're trying to rebuild Milwaukee. We've come a long way on that, but we don't have what Minnesota has as far as a thriving urban center.
So would Wisconsin fit right into the Minnesota mold, or will you have to tweak it, or?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of similarities between the states. I mean, if you just compare the two states climate-wise, a lot of people think in economic development that a company goes to where it's warm. Well, Minnesota's doing substantially better than Wisconsin in a lot of key indices, and they do better than a lot of southern states as well. So they do not have a climate advantage over us. So take that out of the equation. What do they have? I mean, they have a thriving urban center. They have businesses that spin out other businesses. They incent their businesses to grow and expand, and invest. Angel investment in that state is significantly higher than it is here in Wisconsin, and that's one of the key recommendations of the competitive mandate.
There have been some reforms under Governor Doyle. Are those good things? Are those going part of the way?
Yeah, there's no question. Those move Wisconsin in the right direction. Anytime you have regulatory reform, and we've had two under the Doyle administration, frankly, we need to do a better job of marketing those as part of our portfolio of what we have to offer. We need to, you know, scream from the rooftops that we're making progress on areas where we had been lagging behind other states, and we were a pretty high regulatory state prior to those two initiatives. So those are absolutely moves in the right direction, and we need to continue that. But we need to market it. The other thing we need to do, Brian, need to do a better job at is growing and recruiting highway journeys here to the state. And one of the initiatives in the competitive mandate is to grow the number of graduates we have here with bachelor's degrees by 170,000.
Wow.
Now, our public universities do not have the capacity to do that on their own. A combination of our public and private still probably don't have the capacity to achieve that number, so it's going to have to be a combination of graduating more people. The throughput is going to have to be better, and then we're going to have to recruit people with degrees back into this state.
Hmm.
And we believe there's a roadmap to do that. We did some survey work with the Wisconsin Alumni Association, and you may not know this, your listeners and readers may not know this, but there are 350,000 UW-Madison alum around the globe.
Hmm.
And we know exactly who they are, we know exactly where they are, and we know exactly how to reach them. That's just UW-Madison. If you include all the UW system campuses plus Wisconsin's private colleges, they have similar data on all their graduates, and the numbers probably double. It may even be a million people.
Wow.
And what we learned from the Wisconsin Alumni Association survey was nearly 60% of those are willing to relocate back to Wisconsin if they can find similar employment opportunities.
Uh-huh.
They enjoyed their time here. They have fond memories of the state of Wisconsin, but you know, no one has gone after them to try and get them to move their business here or to relocate their family here because it's a great place to raise a family. So one of the initiatives, one of the key initiatives, frankly, in the competitive mandate is to try and do a better job of going after those people. Let's have very specific recruiting efforts on people that have some relationship to the state of Wisconsin. I mean, old-style economic development, and frankly, we did some of this when I was Commerce Secretary, is you chase smokestacks. You,
right.
you hear that there's a prospect looking to relocate, you know, and it may be 500 or 1,000 or even 2,000 jobs, and you've got 50 states competing for that one job creation project, which will benefit one city for sure, one county for sure, and potentially one region, but not necessarily the entire state. I mean, that's like 50 states sitting around the same watering hole or the same ice fishing hole,
right,
trying to catch that one fish. I mean, we're going to... Our objective is to be a lot more strategic about this. We know who these people are. We absolutely know they have some connection to Wisconsin. And why not do call trips to the cities where we know they locate and try and convince them that Wisconsin's economy is actually, this is the place where they can, their business can thrive, their family, they can grow their family, they have a lot of outdoor activities, and it's a super place to live.
About 5 years ago when I was working for the San Diego Union Tribune, I remember the governor, because they had me write the story because they knew I was from Iowa, the governor of Iowa came out, and I think he went to L.A. and San Francisco and San Diego, and he hosted Iowa parties and encouraged people who had moved there. I mean, a lot of people from the Midwest have gone to the West Coast, and that was kind of a come-home plea. And I would think that maybe young people who were still single would probably say, no thanks, but if you do have a young family, that coming back to Wisconsin might be pretty attractive, and I say that because my family did it.
We had research done by Don Nichols, a prominent UW-Madison professor on this very issue, and Wisconsin has a small brain drain. I mean, the net out-migration of people is about 4,000. It's not a significant number. But what we learned from Professor Nichols' analysis was that people... Young people leave, a decent number of young people leave,
uh-huh,
but they come back.
Uh-huh.
Once they have kids and...
Right.
Sort of
the boomerang effect.
Right, it is the boomerang effect. When they have kids, they're in their 30s, they actually may have a higher position in the company that they work for, they're making a little bit more money, they come back.
Hmm.
And then what we found is that when they're ready to retire, they leave again for a short period of time. They do the southern flight down to someplace warm, but they come back again when they're when they're older. Uh-huh. So we understand the patterns of people coming in and out. We want those people in their 30 to 50s that are making money, that have kids in school, you know, that want to put roots here in the state of Wisconsin, and we need to do a better job going to find them.
Are you also, in reading this, it's about encouraging companies here to grow, and I can think of companies like Tomotherapy that's booming. Is what would you do to encourage them?
Well, we're asking for a significant increase in tax credits for angel investment here in this state.
Uh-huh.
Tomotherapy was built on angel investment, and it's it's a great success story. It's only going to get better. I mean, one of the other flaws in economic development is a lot of states try and go after, you know, new companies to bring them in.
Right.
When in reality, most statistics will tell you that nearly 85% of all new jobs are created by businesses that already exist within your own boundaries. So,
uh-huh.
Rather than offend your local business or your existing businesses, we need to do a better job as a state of making sure that they have the environment they need to grow and expand because they're already here. And, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the home team, and we're going to start with that. There should be an effort to recruit new brain power, grow new brain power, and potentially new businesses here to this state. But we can't forget about the businesses that are already here.
Hmm. I remember a couple of years ago, in the last gubernatorial campaign, there was discussion about not going after a new car plant aggressively enough. Are those the kind of things that let Indiana have them and grow more businesses here, or should we go after auto plants?
It's tough for Wisconsin to compete for something that significant, truthfully, because we don't have the incentives that other states do. Wisconsin, our entire portfolio of incentives is, you know, between $10 and $20 million. Some states are willing to contribute $100 to $150, even $200 million to a single company. You know, some call that corporate welfare. Some say it's smart economic development. The reality is Wisconsin can't compete on that level. So what we need to do is do a better job on the macro level of making sure that we have the tax climate, the business climate, the strong education system, you know, kind of the key underpinnings that a business would look for before they decide whether or not to relocate.
Mm-hmm.
And then incentives, frankly, are the cherry on the ice cream at the end.
Mm-hmm. There's a new effort at the Department of Tourism about branding. Will something like that help draw people to Wisconsin?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it. You know, there are little things that economic developers sometimes take advantage of, sometimes don't. The fact that the Packers are 10-1 and the talk of the country,
mm-hmm.
is an economic development opportunity to market Wisconsin as a great place. I mean, you look at Lambeau Field, you look at the folks up there, you know, shivering, cheering on their team. It's the only team in the NFL that's owned by the community. I mean, it's a great story, and it says a lot about the state of Wisconsin. Those are opportunities. The Badgers being in a big bowl game, that's an opportunity to market Wisconsin as a great place to do business. That it's not just athletics, but those do open some doors for us to introduce Wisconsin to people that may not have considered it otherwise.
Recently, I think it was Forward Wisconsin was folded back into Commerce. In terms of marketing, what could the state do better?
Well, the old Forward Wisconsin model was to go on call trips and try and recruit small businesses and those kinds of things. We think those monies would be better spent on a targeted marketing campaign to people that have a connection to the state of Wisconsin. This could be outsourced. The state probably isn't the right one to do this, but they ought to manage it. It's taxpayer money, but it could be outsourced to someone like the Wisconsin Alumni Association or potentially some other private vendors that do these kinds of things, again, under management of the state. But there would be a much more targeted effort at people power, you know, brain power, going after those, and you could have measurable results. I mean, you know exactly when you go to San Francisco how many UW alums or private college alums were invited. You know exactly how many came, and from that you can track how many of them decided to move. Taxpayers, if they want anything in the economic development arena, is they want results, and they want to be able to measure success, and that would be a very specific way of doing it.
In terms of education in the state, there's in the last budget cycle there was a lot of tension about how much money the university would get. Is there anything that could be done to smooth that over, or is that just inherent in the process?
Hopefully it's not inherent in the process. I mean, the UW and our private colleges have our treasures that ought not be partisan footballs. I mean, the fact that we spent 2 months, you know, talking about whether or not we'd close the law school is really kind of, that's really not forward thinking. And the appropriate way to think about it is, how can the UW system, how can our private colleges help drive our economic development initiatives here in the state? And then put funding towards very specific items that you, again, can measure. And other states do it that way. Wisconsin absolutely needs to do a better job. The universities understand this. Competitive Wisconsin met with President Riley just a couple weeks ago. They've undertaken an initiative called Advantage Wisconsin, where they're going to go have listening sessions around the state to find out how they can better connect with the citizenry and how they can do a better job of helping to grow high-paying jobs here in the state. And I think that's fantastic.
In terms of tax reform, what more should the state be doing to, in your opinion?
Well, under our plan, we're going to generate $1.3 $2 billion in new tax revenue without a tax increase. That's point one. Point two, when we have those additional revenues, we need to make strategic investments in things like K-12 education, in our universities for sure, in our infrastructure, but more specifically, we need to make it in property tax relief. If there's one area in this state where we're lagging behind most of the competition, it's that our property taxes are out of whack with our ability to pay, and that's got to be the top priority when we have additional state resources.
If property taxes are lowered, where would the money be coming from to make that up?
Well, the money's going to be coming from growth.
Ah, okay.
If we do this right, we're going to grow the economy by at least $22 billion, maybe more. And so we're going to have growth. We're going to create new jobs. I mean, that's just to match with the Minnesota per capita income. I mean, if we can get this economy humming, I mean, the chances of going beyond that are pretty significant.
How long would it take to catch up with Minnesota, do you think?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't know that we've pinpointed an answer. It'll take probably 5 years at least. It could take a little longer than that, maybe 10, but hopefully not longer than that. If we're developing, if we can agree on specific initiatives to which we would all agree would help grow Wisconsin's economy and make us more competitive, then it shouldn't take that long.
In comparing Minnesota and Wisconsin again, Minneapolis and Milwaukee, what can be done to make Milwaukee more like Minneapolis?
Well, I mean, a lot of people make a mistake of, you know, comparing Minneapolis to Milwaukee or right. Chicago to Milwaukee. In reality, those are not peer cities for Milwaukee. Milwaukee's more like Dayton and Oklahoma City. Those are more peer cities for them. But Milwaukee has a lot to offer. It has made progress. I mean, I think the biggest priority in Milwaukee is getting our arms around improving MPS, because at the end of the day, they're producing, you know, 25% of all the students in the state of Wisconsin are coming out of that school system. So we need to do a better job of making sure that those kids are achieving the results that we will need in tomorrow's economy.
If you could take this, will this require legislative action, or what will it take to
make? Yeah, in many cases, and we'll break it down one by one. And some of it's already been drafted, some of it's already passed. Both houses have been signed by the governor since we've initiated it, and there's more yet to come in this legislative session. But we'll break it down into things that, actionable items that will require legislation. We'll try and get bipartisan sponsorship. Again, because we don't think growing Wisconsin's economy ought to be a partisan issue. It ought to be something we can all agree on to move the state forward.
Was it hard to get labor, business, education, agriculture all on the same page?
No, because they all believe they benefit from a growing and thriving economy. So there wasn't any tension getting through the plan. We all agreed that it had to be research-based, which it is. And then, you know, we sat around a table and not every initiative that was discussed ended up in the final plan, but there is unanimity on the recommendations in the competitive mandate.
What should Wisconsin, these are all positive things, what should Wisconsin not do?
Well, I think Wisconsin has to be careful not to raise taxes. I mean, that's one area where we have a reputation of being higher than we ought to be, higher than our competition. It isn't always fair that we have that reputation because they don't always, not all states count it the same way. But one thing we cannot do is raise property taxes. And I don't think we can raise income taxes either. Those are the two big drivers as far as economic development is concerned, where, you know, we're at a competitive disadvantage right now.
Do you think that there's a danger of that happening?
Well, property taxes are going to go up in the budget that was just signed. I mean, the governor uses veto to actually increase it slightly more than the bipartisan conference committee had agreed to, and that's risky. Hopefully it won't have a negative impact on the state, but it's something that we're going to have to get our arms around on a legitimate property tax relief initiative and property tax cut if we're going to truly be competitive going forward.
Is there anything that we haven't discussed that you'd like to bring up?
You know, Brian, I think one of the other initiatives that's maybe considered somewhat smaller is, you know, global languages in our K-12 schools. A lot of times you'll hear schools talk about, well, we don't need another mandate. Well, is it a mandate? I mean, if we do a better job of educating our kids at an earlier age on some of the global languages, doesn't that actually put us at a competitive advantage over other states? I mean, if you look at if you understand that we're really competing in a global economy, and you look at the European students or the Asian students, most of them are fluent in two or three and sometimes four or five languages, and that gives them a significant competitive advantage. I mean, it's something that there would be a cost to, but we would consider that a strategic investment for the state to consider. And there are new technologies that would mean that, you know, not every school would have to have their own Japanese teacher or Spanish teacher. That some of that can be done via the internet or other methods these days. So it's something that we think is important, and it's something that we think would give us an advantage at least over our domestic competition and start to chip away at the disadvantage we have right now with our foreign competition.
Do you think there's there has been at least a sort of a cultural resistance here to tooting our own horn that you have to change?
Yeah, Wisconsin has to do a better job of tooting its own horn and talking about the advantages we do have. I mean, we spend far too much time kind of beating ourselves up about the tax climate or this problem or that problem when, you know, Wisconsin has a lot of hearty souls here that if they sit around a table and roll up their sleeves, we could address a lot of those problems, and then what we need to do is to do a better job of telling the whole country and the world, for that matter, of the advantages we have. I mean, if we don't sell ourselves, who will?
Not Minnesota or
Illinois. No chance.
Yeah. Do you think things like last week's announcement by the University of James Thompson and with the new stem cell breakthrough using skin cells so that we don't have to use embryonic stem cells, if that kind of thing, that sort of attention would bring, if we promote it, that it would bring more scientific-based companies here? Or?
Well, I think we ought to. I mean, at a minimum, last week's announcement hopefully nullified stem cell as a political football for the 2008 elections, although I'm sure it'll appear at some point. But it's something that we need to understand that there are a variety of different ways that this can be done. There is no question that it has unlimited potential from a healthcare standpoint, from an economic development standpoint, and rather than fight about the method, now there is a method that, you know, we don't need to use embryonic stem cells. Let's embrace the new technology and get together and figure out how we can make that a significant selling point for the state of Wisconsin.
Okay. Anything else?
I think that's it.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.